Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Howard Simon and Jeremy White.
What you've just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
Man, horrendous.
At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought.
Poop fest. It's terrible.
Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
This is excruciating. This is the worst.
May God have mercy on your soul.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Every one of our opens is about how everything's terrible.
Now you're getting me
and
depressed.
And you wonder why I'm in a funk.
Now you're getting me. I was feeling good today. You know, okay, let's just get right to our Western hotline. We'll deal with what you just received in the mail when we get done with Randy Sexton. He is joining us right now, Sabres assistant GM / GM of the Rochester Americans, who are in the AHL playoffs these days. Randy, it's Howard and Jeremy. Good morning. Welcome to the show, first of all.
Thanks very much. Good morning, guys.
I know the first couple of games have not gone well, but it has been a... I just want to do a big picture thing before we get into individual players, Randy. Were the Sabres very happy overall with how things went in Rochester this season? Let's start there.
Yeah, absolutely. When Jason, I, and Steve got here, you know, we had a number of things to work on to fix, and one of them was our entire development system. So, you know, clearly last year we came in fourth with a good solid team, an older team, but we wanted to build, you know, a winning culture. We wanted to teach people how to win. We wanted to help people understand how we believe development takes place and what's required to ultimately move players to the National Hockey League. So last year was a good start. This year, we're very encouraged. We injected a number of younger players into the roster. We came within a couple of points of winning first place overall in our division. I think we finished third or fourth in overall in the American League regular season, which was another positive step forward, obviously progress. And now, you know, we're into a difficult series with the Marlies, and that's all part of the development process. So that's a long-winded answer to say yes. From Buffalo's perspective, we're very pleased with the way things are going in Rochester.
When you talk about you needed to fix the broken development process, what was broken?
Well, part of it was the culture. You know, part of it was the culture. There are certain standards and expectations that we believe have to be in place to provide the best possible development environment. Number two, you needed the right approach to ensure that culture is established, takes hold, and then is nurtured on a daily basis. And then number three, we wanted to be sure that we had the right players and the right leadership group in place to ensure that we provided the right type of a development environment for everybody, not just our younger players, but for every player that comes through Rochester.
Culture sometimes a catch-all term. I mean, this for some teams is you take out the ping pong table, you move the pool tables away, you put different players' lockers next to one another. Was there anything specific, a big-time organizational something you identified as that right there, that's not okay, that's got to go, we've got to be better at that, we've got to remove this, whatever this distraction might be, anything specific?
Well, we didn't take any ping pong tables or the pool tables away because they didn't exist, but and you're right, culture is a sexy phrase these days. Culture to us means, you know, what are the expectations on everybody from the most important player to the youngest guy on the roster, from the most senior executive to, you know, the most junior person who's on the staff. And that's what is required to ensure that we create the right working environment so that they can thrive. What do we have to do to make sure we've got the right set of expectations and standards in place so when these people come to work, they come to work with a bounce in their step, positive, enthusiastic, rested, and ready to have a great day, whether they're the junior equipment manager or whether the top dog in the power play. And that sounds easy to do, but it's hard. It takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of communication. It takes a lot of collaboration, if you will, to make sure that everybody top to bottom understands it. And a lot of people think, hey, if I just get the culture in place, I can put my feet up and now everything's going to be fine. Our belief is that culture is a living, breathing thing. You have to work at it every day. Otherwise, you run the risk of it going backwards. And, you know, we have this saying a little bit internally, you have to guard the culture. So that's, it's got less to do with ping pong tables and who's sitting next to who, and more about a set of expectations and standards.
Of everything you just talked about, and then you get into the on-ice success and performances with everything that happened in Rochester, because as you mentioned off the top, the organization's very happy with how things went. How much credit goes to Chris Taylor? I guess, what kind of a factor is he in determining all of the things you're talking about with the success of the minor league team?
He's absolutely the most significant driver of that, without a doubt. I have other responsibilities, so I'm not able to be there on a day-to-day basis, but Chris Taylor is there every day, living and breathing the Rochester Americans and the development mandate from the Buffalo Sabres. And there is nobody better suited to drive that part of our organization than Chris Taylor. He is the single most single biggest reason that we've been able to do what we've done in a short period of time, because it all flows through Tails.
We're with Randy Sexton, the Sabres assistant GM, also oversees the Rochester Americans, joining us here on the West Her Hotline. I wanted to throw some individual players at you. Now, some of the guys have been up here, Randy, and some guys were pretty much either all or mostly in Rochester. Alex Nylander is a really, you know, from a fan standpoint, Randy, you would understand, I think, that there's an impatience here just waiting for him to come up and develop and be here. And, it sounds like he took some steps this year. Now, I know he hasn't been playing late because of the injury. How would you characterize where the organization stands right now on Nylander?
Well, we're excited about Alex. We are. And I certainly understand where the fans are coming from. The one thing we need to focus on is Alex's age. You know, he ended up playing in the American League as an 18-year-old, so he's played 3 years in the American League when he should have, you know, or could have been playing in the Ontario Hockey League. And given his skill set and his hockey sense and his capability, if he was playing in the OHL, he'd probably have 120 or 130 points, and everybody would be saying, my God, look at the player that we have. So, a decision was made before he got there to go with a different development route. That's the way it goes, and Alex has been forced to not only continue to develop his skills as a teenager playing a man's game in the pros. So it's taken him a little bit longer than most people would have liked. So we're excited about where he is. Would we love him to be playing on the right side with Jack Eichel, getting, 70 points? Absolutely. Is he ready for that? Not yet. Could he get there? We hope so.
What about Olofsson? Speaking of guys and expectations, is the expectation with what he showed here at the end of the season, is the expectation that he would be with the team out of camp, that he has progressed enough, shown enough, that he would be able to stay here full-time?
Well, that will really be dependent on three things. What kind of playoff does he have for Rochester? What's his summer look like, and what's his camp? How's he perform in camp? So we're really trying to get to the point where particularly the new players in the lineup earn their way in. So Ole's had a wonderful season. Victor's had just a tremendous season in Rochester. We know that he's got a great shot and he can score goals, it's the other parts of his game that have grown and matured under Chris Taylor and Toby Peterson's direction in Rochester. And I think that's why he had some success in the short period of time that he was up in Buffalo at the end of the season. But in order to be an everyday player in the NHL, you have to succeed at the American League level, both regular season and playoffs, and you have to show us that you can do that, not just, for 7 or 10 games, but you can do it over the course of the season. So we're thrilled about what his future looks like, but to pencil him into, a top spot in Buffalo at this point in time, I think is a bit premature.
Well, I was reading some comments from Olofsson, Randy, and he talked about, one of the guys that helped his overall game was Rasmus Asplund. And I a two-part question here, and I feel like the latter answer is going to be what you just said about Olofsson. What do you think of Asplund's development over the course of the season, and what about his chances of being here next year?
Well, I love what Rasmus has done. He gets a little bit better every day. you know, very rarely is development a straight line up, you know, at a steep level. You know, it's kind of more like a stock graph. You know, there's a little bit up, a little bit down, a little bit up, a little bit down. As long as the trend over time is moving to the right of the graph, you're in good shape. And that's, you know, Rasmus has had quite a steady improvement. It takes young players at least half a season to adjust to the difference of the North American pro game. You know, forget about the culture and the new country and new teammates. You've got a new ice surface size. For the first time in their life, they're playing three games in 40 hours with maybe two bus trips in between. There's a very significant adjustment. And particularly as a younger player, that's a lot to take on. So Rasmus Asplund has done a phenomenal job for us. And again, has rounded out his game. He's slowly become one of our best faceoff guys in Rochester. He's so responsible on both sides of the puck that it's ridiculous for such a young player. We'd like him to shoot more. You know, he's one of those players who'd rather make an unbelievable play and set up his teammate for an empty net tap-in goal instead of ripping the puck himself. But we think that that's easier to teach and correct than it is to, you know, drive some selfishness out of a player. Mm-hmm. So we're really excited about where Rasmus is. Again, whether he's in Buffalo or not next year remains to be seen. He's kind of on the same trajectory as Victor. He's got to have a really good playoff in Rochester. He's got to have a great summer training, and he has to have a really good training camp.
And the last guy I want to ask you about is Tage Thompson, because you know, you could see clearly there was a struggle at times for him here, and we had always talked about maybe he should have gone down a little bit earlier. How has he looked since he went back to Rochester? And again, you know, big picture, what is the organization thinking about Tage next season?
Well, another young player we're excited about. You know, the NHL is the best league in the world, and for young players trying to get established, you know, they tend to worry and focus on far too many things. And confidence, it takes a long time to develop deep inner confidence, and it can be eroded quite quickly. I thought at the end of the line, their Tage's confidence in Buffalo was waning a bit. If you've watched him play in Rochester over the last few weeks, as I have, he's getting that back now, which is wonderful. Concurrent with that, I mean, obviously he's scoring goals, which is great, but more importantly, he's rounding out his full game. Is he there yet? No, he's not. Has he got more stuff to work on? Absolutely. But do we believe he'll get there? You better believe it. So, again, you know, a younger player, we're not trying to rush anybody in the lineup. We hope that he'll have a strong playoff. He's got a physical frame to probably add 30 or 35 pounds of muscle over the next 3 years, I would think. And when he does, you know, look out, we're going to have what we think is a tremendously skilled, large man with scoring touch. So it just takes time. He's also, you know, just a very young player.
Randy, one more person I want to ask you about with the success that he's had this season in Rochester is Lawrence Pylant. And especially as the season has gone on and into the playoffs, it seems like he's getting a little more added responsibility and a little more ice time. Just want to get your thoughts on the growth of his game and how he's handled going up and down between Buffalo and Rochester throughout the year and just his growth in North America.
Well, he probably made the quickest adjustment to the North American game of all of our young European first-year players. And his attitude is unbelievable. And the other guys' attitude are phenomenal as well. But Lawrence lights up a room. You know, he's not a big man physically, but he has this presence about him. And he's got this infectious, positive vibe. Everything he does is like, his detail is spectacular, and his commitment is pure. So not surprising to me, once I got to know him, about his ability to make the adjustment, despite the fact that he's a defenseman, which is it's a bigger, more difficult adjustment to make than it is for forwards. You know, he is no different than the other guys that we've mentioned. He has to have a good playoff in Rochester. He has to have a tremendous summer of training, and he has to have a great training camp. In order to be here, do we believe he can do it? We do, but, you know, time will tell over the next 6 months. But, you know, the future in Buffalo is very bright with the four or five young players that we've talked about this morning. It just, you know, it just takes a bit of time. And none of them go on at the same, you know, none of them develop at the same rate. Some are a little quicker, some a little slower, but we do believe they're all going to get there. But when they do, it's going to be very exciting.
Randy Sexton joining us on our Westar Hotline. All right, when are you naming a head coach?
Oh, 15th of September, maybe, in time.
No, you can't do that. We're in football season, Randy. I can't multitask, so it's got to be before football season, before Labor Day.
That's a better question for Jason Bottrell than me. I mean, we're in the process. You know, we're going to continue through the process till we get the right guy that we think's the right fit for the Sabres. So that's kind of where we are.
Appreciate your time with us this morning. Thanks for coming on with us.
Thanks very much, guys. Take care.
You bet. Randy Sexton. Game 3 is tomorrow night, I believe, right, in Toronto. It is a best-of-three series. The Amateurs are down two games. Best of five. I'm sorry, best of three. Best of five. They're down two games to none, so could be eliminated tomorrow night. They need to win to stay alive.
You wanted to pick over some rosters of eliminated playoff teams. Calgary and Winnipeg on that list.
Yeah,
because Nashville Predators on that list.
I was going to look at the article. I know TSN had a piece up on Winnipeg, how you know they are facing some difficult decisions this offseason.
You ready?
Yeah, go
Winnipeg
ahead.
Has $23 million in projected cap space.
Okay.
They lose Kevin Hayes and nice Brandon Tanev and Matt Hendricks to free agency, along with Tyler Myers.
Really? He's unrestricted,
He's
a
UFA.
Okay. Wow.
They also lose Ben Chiarot. Is that how to say his name?
Chiarot.
Ben Chiarot, sorry. Bogdan Kiselevich is a UFA. And then there are other RFAs. Andrew Kopp, Patrick Laine, Kyle Connor, Jacob Trouba, Joe Morrow, Nathan Beaulieu, and Lauren Brossoit.
So they got three huge RFAs they're dealing with.
Huge RFAs. Yeah.
And $23 million in cap space.
Yeah.
It's not a
ton
of room.
And you're losing four rostered forwards.
Yeah, one of your starting defensemen, too, Myers.
Yes.
Assuming they don't re-sign him.
Winnipeg, their trade of Kevin Hayes was a go-for-it kind of move, and they're out in the first round. So this is a roster that can be picked over and a team that can be, you know.
What? A team that can be?
Well, let's move on to Calgary real quick. Calgary has a projected $10 million in cap space.
Wow, okay.
They will lose no one really too significant to unrestricted free agency.
Yep.
RFA, Sam Bennett, Matthew Tkachuk, and a couple other forwards that are young, and that's about it. They're goalies. Mike Smith, a UFA, and David Rittich at RFA. But they only have $10 million in space.
That's not a lot. Yeah. I wonder what they do. I assume they wouldn't part ways with Bennett. It seems like that's not worked out the way they hoped. Although I guess from what I read, he did okay in the playoff series, even though they lost. But Tkachuk, all right. So that's not a lot of cap space, but they don't have the guys that they got to deal with that Winnipeg's got to deal with. Winnipeg has some big decisions to make. Nashville, can you look up the Predators?
Nashville Predators have a projected $1 million in cap space.
Wow.
One.
Really? How could you have that little cap space next season?
Nobody's
locked up.
A lot of people are coming off the books.
Oh, okay.
Wayne Simmons and Brian Boyle.
Those are rentals. Sure.
Yeah. Cody McLeod.
Yep.
Zach Rinaldo.
Okay.
Colton Sissons is an RFA. Their defense corps, there's not anybody leaving.
Okay, so they're set.
So Nashville is kind of set. That's not a team you're going to pick
up. Top forwards. They're in really good shape, yeah, because the guys coming off are rentals, or two of the big names are rentals.
So they're going to, I guess, take another shot at it. Nashville would.
Yeah.
Anybody else? Who did we get that was eliminated we didn't go through yet? Anybody?
I thought we covered the teams from the weekend.
We definitely did. We did Tampa before.
You did. There was one other team. No, I think we got everybody.
Pittsburgh?
Go ahead and check it. I thought we did Pittsburgh last week, but I don't recall now.
Pittsburgh has a projected negative amount of cap space.
All right, Jim Rutherford. Woo!
Yeah, they've got work to do. Their RFAs include Zach Aston-Reese, Teddy Bluger, Matt Cullen, and Garrett Wilson are their UFAs. Nobody of major significance.
Okay.
So they kind of bring the band back together unless they make major moves.
There's trades then, right?
Right. That's where Chris Letang might get
directly moving guys out that are under contract then.
Letang, Kessel, each of them will be available when they sign, when they get traded, if they get traded, and they have no movement clauses, both of them.
Oh.
Letang can list 13 teams or 12 teams he won't go to. Kessel, 8 teams he will go to.
Hmm.
That's kind of tough. But they're each 3 more years on their contracts at 31 years old.
So Winnipeg, you could add Winnipeg to your list of teams that you'd be targeting for you were going to say something and you kind of stopped in mid-sentence.
Oh, yes, the offer sheet war.
Oh, yeah, that. So Winnipeg, you'd add them to the list of teams. I mean, that's...
For sure.
You know, with was it Line A, Connor?
Tampa, Winnipeg.
And Trouba.
Calgary. Winnipeg is prime candidate.
Yeah. Yeah, I wonder what they'll do. And Line A also... I wonder what they'll do with their coach, too. I wonder if they're just, you know, did they just say... I mean, they made the playoffs with Paul Maurice... Or do they look at it and go, we need to take another step somehow and think Maurice is part of the problem in Winnipeg?
And Line A revealed he's been playing hurt.
Yeah.
He's got a back injury the whole time.
Okay. Maybe that would explain why he went into some goal-scoring droughts. You know, he looked a little better in the playoffs, but I know he struggled a lot through the regular season.
Yeah. He was injured, Alex Tanev. I mean, he scored 30.
Yeah, right.
Last
but
year
it was a bad
year. Right.
But he went... 36 he went through a really big goal scoring drought.
Yeah, 36 to 44, and then this year back to 30.
Yeah.
His career low for goals and assists and points.
But you could see in the playoffs, I know he scored at least one goal in the series against St. Louis. You could just see again the ability of this kid and how dangerous his shot is. So that's why I was, maybe that makes sense now. Maybe if he was playing through this for most of the season, it was affecting his shot and affecting his goals.
Three goals in six games.
Okay, good. Yeah. I remember he's got a great wrist shot.
Last year, he had 5 goals in 17 games.
Wow. So he was fine. Yeah. He's not the reason why they lost to the St. Louis Blues. So did you tweet out a picture of your
The House Tank banner? Yes, I did.
House Tank?
This is from 26 Shirts and from Del Reed.
It's a nice touch.
House Tank. We hang a banner for our accomplishments.
You didn't put Tank Champs and the Year or anything.
It's a Game of Thrones thing. It's a flag. It's not
not
a banner
like
you put a year on.
That is
our sigil. Nice. Our sigil, as they say.
Who?
A sigil.
Sure, okay.
That's what's on the banner.
Uh-huh. Sigil.
And a painted symbol.
Sure.
Considered to have magical power. That's what they call them in Game of Thrones, the sigil.
So this will keep demons away from your house?
No, it just represents that when you carry that banner, that means it represents who you are. And I am House Tank.
I guess that is appropriate. So that's good that you have that.
Mm-hmm.
We've been talking about the draft this morning in addition to Stanley Cup playoffs. Of course, phone lines are always open. We can talk about the Bills and the biggest need for the Bills. We put up a web poll on that. You can vote at WGR550.com. You can call us at 803-0550 or 888-550-2550 and let us know. All your draft questions and comments are welcome. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, coverage of the NFL Draft on WGR. Thursday night, it's Murph and Tasker bringing you coverage starting at 8. Friday, rounds 2 and 3. And, of course, the Bills have the 9th pick in round 1. They're at 40 and 74 in rounds 2 and 3. Rounds 2 and 3 Friday night, that'll be Nate Geary and Joe DiBiase. Coverage starts at 7. Rounds 4 through 7 on Saturday morning will begin at 11. And we will have coverage again with Nate and Joe. The Bills have 10 picks overall. There's two fours, two fives, and two sevens, in addition to the other picks they have in those rounds. So 10 picks overall for the Bills in the draft.
You know how many picks they had last year? And how many made the roster?
No.
Well, Josh Allen, Tremaine Edmonds
made the roster. Taron Johnson.
Yeah, and they didn't take any second-round picks. Harrison Phillips made the roster. Taron Johnson. Saran Neal.
I couldn't remember if Saran Neal was 2 years ago or last year. He made the roster.
Wyatt Teller.
He made the roster.
And then once you got to the 6th round, Ray McLeod
and
Austin Prohl.
Yeah.
Not so much.
Was Prohl in the 6th or was he a 7th round?
7th.
7th round.
Seventh,
okay.
Yeah.
So 10 picks this year. And, you know, for what it's worth, Sal's article, if you read it at WGR550.com, he's got an article up about the possibility of trading back into round 1 and having two first-round picks, like Brandon Bean did last year. He points out, you know, 10 picks. They may not need all these 10 picks. The guys all wouldn't necessarily make the roster. So maybe there's some ammunition to be moving back into rounds or higher up in rounds for Brandon Bean. Anyway, that's available to read at our website. Coverage of the draft on WGR, presented by Fiegel & Carr, your border attorneys, and brought to you by Lockport Outdoor Store. High-impact gear for hardworking men and women. And by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case.
I think the Bills are in a really good spot in terms of, you know, free agency to me should be where you attack real needs so that you don't run into the draft desperately needing to fill a starting spot. I think if you put yourself in that position, you're already behind the eight ball because now you're not necessarily taking the best player available. You're trying to fit a need, and that guy's probably not going to play lights out from year one. So I think the Bills are in a pretty good spot because they address their most glaring needs.
That is Sam Monson from Pro Football Focus. That's one of the things we're talking about today on the show. The Bills have been busy this offseason, addressing a number of needs in free agency. And we're talking about what do you think the Bills' biggest need is going into the draft on Thursday night in round one. 803-0550 to join us, 888-552-550. You can also vote in a brand new Twitter poll that I just put up. Who are you rooting for tonight? Boston, Toronto, or Armageddon? Armageddon's leading the way early on.
I'm not going to root for Armageddon, I feel like.
It's gaining 49% of the vote.
I don't really want to hurt my own life.
Your own standing?
In the process.
So you don't want the world to come to an end tonight at around 10 o'clock or 9:30? All right. Well, it is winning. I wasn't really being serious. I just kind of thought it would be funny to put in Armageddon because, you know, tonight's a game that, you know, there will be a winning team. And at the end of the night, it's just which team will...
Which team will be the favorite to win the East?
Oh, God, no. You know, I don't...
Isn't the winner of tonight's game the favorite?
Well, they're the highest remaining seed, right? Wait a minute. The Islanders are the two.
The Islanders, if you're going just straight NHL points, the Islanders had more points than the Leafs. If I'm not mistaken, I'll pull that up just to be sure.
I'm going to be rooting for Columbus.
Because the Leafs kind of faltered down the stretch.
This is heading to rooting for Columbus for me.
The Islanders finished with 103. Toronto, 100. Columbus, 98. Washington, 104. I guess Washington, if they win, would have the most points.
Oh, okay.
And then again, Boston, 107. So if Boston wins, they're the favorite.
If Toronto wins, people will talk about how they got over the stumbling block of getting out of the first round of the playoffs.
Whoever wins this series... we'll have the best goal differential of any team left in the East.
Okay.
And in the West, on goal differential, that's true too. Dallas is a +8 on the season. Colorado a +14. St. Louis a +24. So the winner of tonight's game will have the best goal differential of any team left.
If Carolina wins and beats Washington, this could be, I couldn't tell you the last time I would have had a miserable Eastern Conference semifinals.
How about the year the Sabres lost to Carolina? Don't you remember that? That the 5, 6, 7, and 8 won in the West.
Yeah. Well, that's part of the narrative of why it's painful to talk about that year. Things were falling really well in the other division. Was Edmonton the 8 that year?
8 or 7, yes.
And they made it to the finals.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. No, this would be...
And then they played their third goalie.
I'd have to look back and look at the final
and
four
then they
matches.
Lost in seven games.
This would be, if it's Carolina, let's see, Carolina, Boston or Toronto, whatever, Islanders and Columbus. The Columbus Blue Jackets are the only team I could stomach winning the Eastern Conference at that point. The others, man, the NHL playoffs, the Eastern Conference playoffs might be dead for me at that point. I might just be a Western Conference fan for the rest of the playoffs up to the finals.
I wonder how Columbus's cap situation is. Let me pull them up real quick. Are they going to...
They're going to have some contracts coming off the books.
Well, Duchesne, I mean, he's going to sign for...
DeZingle, what's his status?
Go. Panarin and Duchesne both come off.
Yeah.
That's $12 million off their current. DeZingle is a rental.
Bobrovsky?
And on defense, McQuaid. Bobrovsky, yes, is another 7.4.
So that's five guys right there.
Columbus has $28 million of projected space for next year.
So they can keep some of those guys.
Sure.
They're
not going to keep Panarin or Bobrovsky because those two are probably on their way out. Mm-hmm. But if they wanted to bring Duchesne back.
Or DeZingle. Or both.
It's one of the easier ways to do it. If you trade for a guy who's a rental and go on a run and then re-sign him, if you're Jarmo Kekalainen, that's a positive development that doesn't make it look like you spent so much on a rental.
Yeah.
You basically, in that case, did what Vegas did for Mark Stone, right? Spent a lot, got him, locked him up.
Signed
He's here. You're
right.
Good to go.
Right. Yeah, I think the Blue Jackets would be happy with that. You know, you'd still want to be a franchise that's in contention in the East next year, even though you're going to lose Panarin and Bobrovsky. So you'd like to keep some parts around, and keeping those guys would certainly help. Duchesne would be a big part of. You know, you've still got a guy like Atkinson. You still have Pierre-Luc Dubois. You still have talent on the roster, even if Panarin and Bobrovsky walk. I'm sure they would go out of their way to make sure they keep a guy like Duchesne and or DeZingle to make them part of the core going forward next season and beyond. The got a couple tweets on the game tonight. Mark would rather drink Ipecac than have interest in these teams. Next tweet on Boston-Toronto. As long as it's a close game, preferably overtime, I'd rather have Toronto win. I'm so sick of Boston's sports dominance, their fan base, and Brad Marchand. I'll even golf clap if the Leafs win. Yeah, we talked about this earlier. I as much as everybody is tired of Boston winning, it's not just a Patriots thing for us. The idea of having the Leafs win a playoff series, I can't deal with it. Don't want to deal with it.
I will be
don't want to handle it.
I would be borderline unfazed by Boston winning the Stanley Cup.
Could I?
Totally unfazed.
Yeah.
Maybe Chara would retire.
Honestly, you know what? As much as we, yeah, right. I can maybe say that about the Celtics and the Red Sox too.
Maybe Bergeron doesn't quite retire, but
there's only one Boston team that bothers me.
Patriots.
Right. Yep. I mean, if the Red Sox won again, I mean, sure, they've won multiple titles. They don't need to win again, but I don't hate the Red Sox. I'm not tired of them. The Celtics, I was a Knicks fan growing up, so I really don't like the Celtics. Nothing would bug me more than a Patriots title. The other three teams in Boston don't bother me as much. I don't root for them. But in this case, it's a lesser of two evils. And the bigger evil for me is watching the Leafs in the second round and dealing with their fan base and how excited everybody's going to be and they're going to win the cup and everything is great and you guys, everybody else, I just, whatever. We've gone down the road. Anyway, go Bruins. And then as soon as the series is over, I go back to being anti-Boston Bruin and root for whoever they might play against the rest of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Because, yeah, anyway. Bruce tweeted in, octuple. I'm rooting for octuple overtime. Whoever wins the game is exhausted and broken, and they can't play in the next round, and they have to forfeit. I like that. That's a good one. Octuple over. What would it still be going on when I wake up? Nah, I guess not. I'm trying to think how long an 8 overtime game would take. 2.5, 5. It's got to be a good 7 hours. No, wouldn't be going on when I wake up. But octuple overtime. Yeah, that'd be cool. Who would you want to, I know who you want to see from Vegas, San Jose. I assume you're rooting for San Jose?
Definitely.
If Carolina wins, you're not grief-stricken?
No. Okay. I'm not at all.
You've moved on the Carolina Hurricanes. Even last night, you know, the portion, I didn't see the whole game, but, you know, their flow of play was in their edge. They were getting more shots, more shot attempts. They had the puck more often. And Washington seemed to score on very limited chances they had to stay in that game. I fell asleep, I think, when it was 2-2, and then saw the highlights this morning. And it just felt like Carolina had the puck, and Carolina was doing most of the damage and getting most of the chances. And then here comes Ovechkin down the ice. Boom, he bangs one in, and Washington was hanging in the hockey game, despite the fact that I think they were being outplayed. They've probably been outplayed for most of the series. I know you. Carolina's numbers usually show well in analytics. They've probably been the better team over the series, even though it's tied at 3 games. Beat the snot out of them in game 5. Was it game 4 in Carolina?
It was the one upset that I was comfortable picking. I didn't pick Columbus over Tampa. I did pick Carolina over Washington, though.
Because Carolina has played well for an extended amount of time, and even when they were not playing well, their analytics and everything were good. They're getting good goaltending. They have a good top line. They've got some balance on offense, and they're getting good coaching. Whatever. Brandon Morris turned out to be a nice pickup for them from a coaching standpoint. All right, we'll talk draft with you. We'll talk playoffs, whatever else is on your mind. 803-0550. We get a break. Get to Extendo Sports in a moment. Coming up top of the hour, the boys from the Instigators will be in. They will talk plenty of hockey with you on WGR.
Breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550, 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
Extendo Sports. Tonight, the Leafs and the Raptors each have a chance to advance in their respective playoffs. So it's not just the Toronto Maple Leafs with a big game tonight. Raptors can advance too. Stat of the day. Here's your stat of the day. A couple stats. Yesterday, Kevin on Twitter, Sabres tweeter, I put him in the old Sabres Twitter universe. The Sabres, going back to last year, this past season, they were outshot by 5.
That's all?
That's it.
Really? I thought it would have been a bigger number.
5.
Huh. Okay.
They took a lot of low-quality shots.
Okay.
Remember?
Well, that's right.
Yep. They got outshot by 5. The 1998-1999 team that lost in the Cup final
yeah. Go ahead,
was outshot by?
A gazillion?
310.
Yeah. Well, the goalie could make 45 saves every night.
And I went and did, this prompted me to jump in and say, oh, how about the 2014-15 Sabres?
Oh, my goodness.
They were outshot by?
1,000.
937.
It was so much fun that year, like shot attempts.
Yeah, it was.
Were just preposterous. And I would love when we'd come in the morning after a game and you would give me the numbers.
Yep.
It was just out of this world nuts. The disparity was great.
So there you go. Played golf yesterday. It was wet.
I was going to say, the grounds weren't too mushy.
A little swampy.
Yeah.
The nice thing about the swamp, when it's a swampy golf course, is you get to play a little bit of, you get to fudge the rules a little bit. You know, if you hit it in the rough and it's in a standing puddle of water, you get to pull it out of there.
Well, oh, sure, why not?
Lift, clean, in place kind of situation.
That's fine. Come on, we're among friends.
No, that's allowed.
Speeds the game along, right?
Yeah. So, three rounds, what is it? It's April 23rd, and I've got three rounds in already. The goal this year is 50.
It keeps raining every day.
I'm gunning for 50 rounds of golf this year.
Seems like a lot.
It does seem like a lot. I'm at three.
Yeah, but you've got some really great warm weather coming up, and you can golf into – do you golf into September, October?
I'll golf into – yeah.
Yeah, I think my neighbor goes into October, and I'm sure he's got the clubs out now. I just thought – I wasn't sure what kind of course – what condition the course would be in.
Golf season. Bring it. It's grilling season. It's golf season.
It's rabbit
just
season.
Needed to stop
it's
raining
season.
So yeah. much.
Well, it's going to rain again today. A couple things for NFL draft. I can share some stuff with you. I mentioned this earlier. We were talking about Todd McShay, ESPN.com. NFL draft buzz. We'll go through what he's hearing about the teams in front of the Bills, basically. We don't have to share everything, obviously. With the Bills, he said the two names he has heard the most are Ed Oliver and Christian Wilkins, both defensive tackles. Oliver from Houston and Christian Wilkins from Clemson. If you'd like to know an in-depth breakdown on them, Sal was on with us this morning. It is available in on-demand audio. We talked more about Wilkins, quite honestly, because we'd brought up Oliver before, but I wasn't as up on Christian Wilkins. So if you want to hear a breakdown on that, if those are the two names the Bills are centering on, you can listen to the interview we had with Sal earlier. It's an on-demand audio, WGR550.com. Arizona, of course, everybody's wondering what they're going to do at quarterback. Is it Kyler Murray? Are they using a quarterback for the number one pick? McShay sticking with that for now. If they trade Josh Rosen, the two teams he's hearing the most are the Giants and the Dolphins. San Francisco at number two, likely going to take either Bosa or Allen if Murray's off the board. Let's see. That leaves the Jets. The Jets at three apparently love Quinnen Williams. They need to get a pass rusher and apparently love Quinnen Williams. They're high on Ed Oliver too. And there's talk that they would trade out. But one of those pass rushers should be on the board for the Jets at three. Four is Oakland. Who knows? Ian Rappaport yesterday reported that the Raiders could make the, quote, surprise pick at four. What that means? It's beyond me to tell you what the hell it means. Oakland would be looking for a player on defense, according to Mr. McShay. Tampa at five could trade out. If a quarterback needy team wants to get up, that would be a prime spot. If not, he thinks Tampa's going defense, Josh Allen or Devin White. The Giants are at six. Pass rusher, pass rusher, pass rusher. That is the word coming out of New York that Gettleman really wants to add a pass rusher there. He's also got pick 17 if they want to add a quarterback there. Jacksonville, defensive line, although they do bring up Hockenson as a possibility there. I'm going to hope no and hope he's still on the board and hold out hope that the Bills take T.J. Hockenson. Detroit at eight could be a trade. It's another spot where maybe a team that might want to get a quarterback would move up, but it seems here the Lions have enough needs and can go find them lower in the draft that the Lions are a prime candidate to trade out of eight, and the Bills are up at nine. That's, for what it's worth, what Todd McShay is hearing from ESPN.com. We missed, if you missed Luke Easterling too, another NFL draft guest, that's available in on-demand audio. It's your schedule for tonight. You ready?
Yeah.
You're not staying up for Vegas, San Jose.
I was about to say, I think I might rather stay up for Vegas, San Jose than read
Boston,
one
Toronto?
More mock draft.
Oh, yeah. Well, I got news for you.
I know there's more.
I think they've become, like, each year, there are more and more mock drafts. It just feels like it. I don't know how long ago it was, a handful of guys. You go to whatever site you want to go to now. It feels like there's 12 mock drafts at every single website you go to in these days. Everybody's got a mock draft out there. I will never do a mock draft. I'm just telling you right now. Here's your plan for tonight. Boston, Toronto, 7 o'clock, NBCSN. To follow, assuming it doesn't go overtime, Vegas and San Jose at 10 o'clock. Your NBA playoff schedule, if you're looking for some hoops, you mentioned earlier, I forgot to check this. Is it possible we might not have a single series go six games in the NBA?
Yes, it is. The only upset also would be San Antonio over Denver.
That's the one series I was going to look at because I couldn't remember what the series was.
If it were
the
other way around, there wouldn't be a single upset. And you could make the case the first round isn't necessary.
Yeah, but really be.
But San Antonio, Denver is a – Denver was the two, right? Two seed?
Yeah. Orlando, Toronto tonight. Raptors can close that one out. That's a 7 o'clock game. You got Brooklyn at Philadelphia at 8. We'll see if there's another fight. You know, things got a little testy in Brooklyn in game 4. That's game 5. These are all game 5s. San Antonio at Denver, that's at 9:30. And the late game, Portland is up 3-1 in that series, I believe, right? They can close out Oklahoma City. That is a 10:30 start in Rip City. So that's your NBA playoffs.
I like Rip City. You ever been to Rip City?
No. Is it a nice place?
Yeah.
I've heard it's mountainous. Pretty. I've never been out there, though.
Yeah, mountainous, outdoorsy, good beer scene.
Okay.
There's a big bookstore. that's all I've got for you.
There's some secret stuff underground in Portland. You ever see the story, the show? Is it called Secrets of the Underground? It's too late
last
to bring this one up.
Play in the show.
I don't know. I just remember seeing some show on recently about underground, and it's just they go under towns and cities and find all the stuff, and there's a lot of stuff from like the Wild West that's under the city of Portland. On that note, there's your crazy waste of time note for the day. There's underground stuff in Portland. Instigators are coming up next. They're going to talk hockey. We will be back tomorrow. Of course, more NFL draft talk, getting you ready for round one Thursday night. And whatever the heck happens with Boston and Toronto tonight, we'll find a way to talk about it tomorrow morning.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.